Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may happen to be, and welcome to Balance Point. I just had to check there, make sure that the audio was up, but we are doing just great. We pray that God has blessed you this wonderful week, and that the world finds you doing well. Anyway, this week we are continuing our study. This Thursday we are continuing our study here in the book of Genesis. And we are going to be going and parking in Genesis chapter 31. So if you turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 31, we will dig right in. But first, a couple of announcements. First off, if you are in the Long Beach, Lakewood area, we would like to invite you to Church Without Walls. This is going to be on August 28th at Pan American Park in Long Beach at Arbor Road and Charlemagne. We're going to be meeting in the park right across from the Episcopal Church, and we would love to have you come and join us. There's going to be food. There's going to be family fun. There's going to be games. And best of all, there's going to be park time. So we would love to have you come and join us. Next announcement, our Wednesday night study, we are moving into a new study. For those of you that are on Facebook, you already know about this study. For those of you that are on YouTubes and the other tubes, we will be beginning a study on how to study the Bible. I mean, how many of you have actually had a pastor tell you, you need to read the Bible, you need to study the Bible? But then, you ain't taught how to do it. You're just like thrown out there with the Bible. We are going to be doing a study, how to study the Bible. And because this information is so important, we want this information to get into everyone's hands that is possible. So what we are going to be doing for this study is we are actually going to be making the study notes and the MP3 audio available. And all you have to do to be able to get the study notes and the MP3 audio is, if you're on Facebook, private message me with an email address where I can send these to you as attachments as we finish each lesson. If you are on YouTube, again, private message me with your email contact information so that I can get these things out to you, and we will be getting them out like right after each of the messages go out. And if it seems like I might be just a little bit distracted, that is because I see what happened. Forgive me. Those of you that are watching over on YouTube, please forgive me. I started the stream and it looked like the stream was going okay to all of the streaming servers that we send streams out to. And guess what? It turns out that the stream going out to Facebook had not started because, well, I forgot to push the button. Anyway, let me go back and just quickly for our Facebook viewers, give you the announcements that I gave you. First off, end of the month, August 27th at Pan American Park, which is over on Arbor Road in Charlemagne. We invite you to come and join us Sunday morning. What time are we doing this? Is that 11 or 10? 9:30. Wow, this is early. 9:30 Pan American Park for an event that we are putting on with our sister church, Side by Side Community Church, called Church Without Wall. There's going to be games. There's going to be food. We're going to have a short message. But this is just an opportunity for us to go out and worship the Lord out in the open air and to have just a good time with our families and our friends. And you are all welcome. You are all invited. Second announcement. is beginning this coming Wednesday, our Wednesday night messages that we do with our sister church, Side by Side Community Church. We are starting a study called How to Study the Bible. This is for all of us who have ever had a pastor tell us, hey, you need to read the Bible. You need to study the Bible. And they just kind of turn us loose with this big old crazy book. And we have no idea where to get started, how to get started. We're going to make that right. So for the next few weeks, we are going to be studying how to study the Bible. And because this is information is so important for those who are in a church, in a small group, who really want to get into studying God's word, but have never been able to, and have been confused about the whole thing. We are starting from the start, and we are going to do something that we rarely do here at Balance Point, and that is we are going to be making the audio available for you to be able to go over on your own, and we will also be making available the actual notes that I will be teaching these lessons from. Again, so that you can have them, you can refer to them. And so all you need to do in order to get a hold of the study notes, all you need to do in order to get a hold of the MP3 audio is if you're on Facebook, private message me at Dan Hoyt, or you can private message me at the Balance Point Christian Community. If you're on YouTube, private message me, and in either case, YouTube, Google+, wherever you happen to be viewing this, private message me with your email, and I will be sure that after each session, I will send you the MP3 audio, and it'll be all nice and compressed so that it'll fit in your email, and I will send you a copy of the note. It is so important that we know how to study the Bible that I want to make sure that this is available to you. This information is available to you, so you will have it to refer to in the future. And so, again, if you want the notes, if you want the MP3 audio, please private message me, and I will send that out after each session each Wednesday. And so, today, this is being the Thursday night Bible study. We're continuing our sessions in the book of Genesis. And we are going to be in Genesis chapter 31. As soon as I find where my cursor went, so I can bring my Bible up. There we go. It's funny, you would think that after doing this for what? Over 10 years live and recorded, I'd actually know how to use technology. I still have no. And this is what I do for a living. But Genesis chapter 30, and as we enjoy this kind of time of joy, let's take a moment for a moment in prayer. Let's calm our spirits. Father God, we are just grateful for this technology that allows us to gather together. Though we may be hundreds or even thousands of miles apart, we can still come together as a community and we can still enjoy your grace and your mercy, and we can still study your word. Father God, we just ask in the mighty name of Jesus that you would be with us today, and that you would be glorified, that you would be magnified, that you would be lifted up. Father God, reveal to us that which you would most desire for us to understand. And grant us, in the name of your Son Jesus, your grace and your peace. Amen and amen. And by the way, I forgot to mention, if you are with us online, either on the YouTubes or the Facebooks, we're changing up our structure just a little bit, and we would actually love it if you have questions, if you have comments. We actually would love to hear from you. And feel free to type them in. We have, I'm actually monitoring on one screen as I'm attempting to teach on the other screen, which makes for really, really fun juggling of things. But we also have minister that's in the chat room or watching comments, who can signal me, if there are comments or questions. So feel free to ask comments or questions while we are live here, and I'll do my best to notice them and respond to them as part of the interactions that we'll have together. And so let's go on and dig into Genesis chapter 31. And you'll have to forgive me because I did write the sermon, except for the fact that the sermon never made into my notes. And so I'm actually preaching from memory today. So if I seem a little scatterbrained, that's why. Genesis chapter 31, beginning in verse 1. And we titled today's message, On the Run Again. I don't know why I have that song going through my mind, On the Road Again. But on the run again. Genesis chapter 31. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son. So let me back up just a little bit here. So when we last studied last week, we saw that Jacob was using selective breeding to basically take all of Laban's sheep. Laban had changed his, well, we're going to find out in this chapter, that Laban had actually changed his, Jacob's wages several times. And so Jacob used his knowledge of the behavior of the sheep and goats in order to, well, let's just say he swindled him. I mean, that's kind of what it came down to. Well, to be more precise, Jacob was a very good lawyer and he used the letter of the contract to his advantage. And so now we pick up in 31. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and what belonged to our father, he has made, what belonged to our father, he has made all this wealth. Now Jacob saw the attitude of Laban, and behold, it was not friendly towards him as it was formerly. Well, yeah. You know, the funny thing about cheaters, the funny thing about swindlers, is they don't like it when their own game is played on. You know, they don't like it when you call them out for what they're trying to do. Try that with a telephone scammer and you will find very quickly how quickly they will get angry and how quickly they will start cussing and fussing. They don't like it. The Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers, and to your relatives, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to his flock in the field. And he said to them, I see your father's attitude. It's not friendly towards me as formerly, but the God of my father has been with me. I want you to notice the language there. Even after everything that God's done, after all the protection that God's given him, Jacob still does not claim God to be his own God. But he says, the God of my father. We often do that as well. We try to ride on the coattail of those that have gone before us. Maybe we have a grandmother who was particularly spiritual and had a particularly close relationship with God. Or maybe it was a mom or an auntie or an uncle. And we try to often ride on the coattail. And we will often pray to the God of my fathers, the God of my grandma. And God wants to be my God. God wants me to be his kid, not his great-grandkid by grandma's faith, but he wants us to be his kids standing on our own faith And so here we see Jacob still kind of in that mindset. And in fact, as we study through the scripture, you're going to find something kind of interesting, because in a couple of chapters, Jacob is going to get his name changed. And usually when someone gets their name changed by God, the old name totally goes away and the new name sticks. But we're going to find something about Jacob and about Jacob's descendants who are going to be called by Jacob's name. And the thing that we're going to find is that when Jacob is living in faith, he's going to be called by his new name. And when Jacob isn't living in faith, he's going to be called by Jacob. So right now, Jacob is saying, the God of my father, my father's God. This reminds me of a story that we find in the book of Acts. Paul is out on a missionary journey. And Paul's been doing all sorts of just wild things by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there are these seven brothers, sons of a Jewish rabbi, who fancied themselves to be exorcists. And so they were going around and they would say, we adjure you, we bind you in the name of that Jesus whom Paul preaches. And this went along okay until they came up against a certain demon, possessed man. And they got this demon possessed man cornered in a house. And they went through their little routine. We adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And that demon possessed man said, you know, Jesus I know. Paul I know. But who are you? And then that demon-possessed man proceeded to jump the seven brothers, beat the snot out of them, and sent them running out of the house, bleeding and naked. That must have been one heck of a fight. What's the point of all of this that I'm saying? I'm saying all of this because God wants to know us. And God wants us to know him. And so Jacob said, but the God of my father has been with me. Now what's interesting is Laban, of course, is Jacob's uncle. So Laban would have been well aware of the God that Nahor and Abraham had left the family area for to serve. And you would think that Laban would have a little sense. But we're going to see just how bad this is going to get. Verse 6. You know that I've served your father with all my strength, and yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. However, God did not allow him to hurt me. If he spoke thus, the speckled shall be your wages, and all the flock brought forth speckle. If he spoke thus, the stripes shall be your wages, and all the flock brought forth stripe. And to understand what was going on, you need to back up to the previous chapter to see how that ended up working out. And thus God has taken away your father's livestock and given them to me. It came about at the time when the flock was being when the flock were mating, that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the male goats were mating, were striped and speckled and mottled. And the angel of the Lord said to me in a dream, Jacob. And I said, here I am. He said, lift up your eyes and see that all the male goats which are mating are the striped, speckled, and mottled. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. You've heard it once and you'll heard it again. Do not be fooled. God sees what's going on. You being done wrong, God sees. Just chill. Don't be a doormat, but chill. And guess what? at some point, the one who's doing you wrong, well, let's just put it this way. The laws that God has set into motion in the universe, like gravity, they don't fail. There is a law that God set in the universe. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. Let me tell you something about the law of sowing and reaping. What you plant, you get back. And if you're going to do somebody wrong, you better be prepared to get it back. Because that's just how God rolls. God's merciful, but God don't take prisoners. God's gracious, but God don't take okey-doke. He don't play it like that. So anyway, back to our passage. Verse 13, I am the God of Bethel, meaning the house of God, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise and leave this land and return to the land of your birth. Rachel and Leah said to him, do we still have any portion or inheritance in our father's house? Are we not reckoned to him as foreigner? For he has sold us and has also entirely consumed our purchase price. Now we talked a little bit a couple of lessons ago about the idea of the dowry. Back in the day, if you were a guy and you wanted to marry a gal, you would have to pay a dowry, what's called the bride price. And the idea behind the dowry was that if you turned out to be a jerk and you went to divorce your wife, she had something to live on. Think of it as alimony in advance. And so, of course, Jacob, because he had been running for his life from his brothers, didn't have any money. So rather than putting money down for his wives, he worked. And he worked 14 years, 7 for Rachel, 7 for Leah. And so, out of all that work, Laban had his wealth grow. But Laban had been consuming that wealth. And so, what should have been set aside in case Jacob turned out to be a jerk, Laban, dude, he made out like a bandit. And so watch this logic from the women. Surely all the wealth which God has taken away from our father belongs to us and our children. Now then, do whatever God has said to you. You know, it's kind of funny because lately, for whatever reason, I've gotten into reading, and I know this is not Christian, but Lord, forgive me. I've gotten into reading pro-revenge. This is a subreddit on Reddit. This is about to be some pro-revenge. So watch this. Do whatever God has said to you. So Jacob arose and he put his children and his wives upon camels, and he drove away all of his livestock and all of his property which he had gathered. He acquired livestock which he had gathered in Paddan Aram to go to the land of Canaan to his father. When Laban had gone out to shear the sheep, then, now this is some fairly, again, not cool, but the Bible tells us how it is. When Laban had gone out to shear his sheep, then Rachel stole the household idols that were her father's. And Jacob, and I'm going to come back to these household idols. I'm going to explain a little bit about them when we get down there. But just hold in your mind, Rachel stole the household idols. She took the gods. I don't know why I'm finding that funny tonight. She took the gods. So he fled with all that he had and arose and he crossed the Euphrates River and he set his face toward the hill country of Gilead. When it was told to Laban on the third day, so Jacob got a 3-day head start, and Jacob had fled. He took his kinsmen and pursued him a distance of 7 days. Jacob must have been hauling because he had a three-day head start, so it took 7 days to catch up to him. They overtook him in the hill country of Gilead. Now watch it. God came to Laban, the Aramean, in a dream and said to him, be careful that you do not speak to Jacob, either good nor bad. In other words, Laban, I'm watching your tongue. And you better treat him right. So Laban caught up with Jacob. And now Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country, and Laban with his kinsmen camped in the hill country of Gilead. Now, be real honest, the way this is set up, this sounds like a classic setup for a field battle. In other words, Laban had probably come out there and he was just, well, let's just put it this way. He was probably planning on killing Jacob and taking everything back by force. Because of the way that this is worded and the way that they are arrayed on opposing hill, realistically, that's really what was about to go down. But God had intervened and told Laban, son, you better take a chill pill. Be careful what you say. So watch this. Verse 26. Laban said to Jacob, what have you done deceiving me and carrying away my daughters like captives of the sword? Excuse me. Really? Remember, Laban has been cheating. And so Laban doesn't like the fact that he's just been had. Why'd you flee secretly and deceive me? So now he's gonna play the victim. And did not tell me, so I might have sent you away with joy, with songs, with the timbrel and the harp. Yeah, right. Right. Let's see, this is the same Laban, who had Jacob work for 7 years for Rachel, and on the wedding night pulled the bait and switch. This is the same Laban who had Jacob work for another 7 years to get Rachel. This is the same Laban who changed Jacob's wages 10 times over the course of 20 years. And he's going to say, I could have sent you away with joy. See, this is the pattern of a manipulator. Why'd you do me like this? Well, maybe I did you like that because you're wrong. Maybe sometimes the best, and by the way, what happens here is the best outcome that you can have with a manipulator. If somebody's a manipulator, somebody is overstepping boundaries, sometimes the best thing you can do is put some distance between you and them. Okay? God tells us that we have to love people. That means that we have to seek their best. And sometimes the best that we can seek for somebody is not to be around that somebody. There's your mic drop for the day. Sometimes the best that we can seek for those who are not right, who are doing us wrong, is not to be around that person anymore. You don't do it in spite. You don't do it in anger. But you just simply, you separate. So why'd you flee secretly? We could have sent you out with the timbrel and lyre. And he didn't even allow me to kiss my sons and my daughter. Now you have done foolishly. It is in my power to do you harm. But God, the God of your father, spoke to me last night. Be careful not to speak good or evil to Jacob. Now you have indeed gone away because you long greatly for your father's house. But why'd you steal my gods? Okay, I was actually thinking about this because I was, you know, going over my stuff at lunch today. I got down to this line and I started laughing. I started laughing really hard. It's like, Laban is like, dude, why'd you steal my gods? I started laughing because I was like, dude, if they're really gods, they can't be stolen. How do you steal an all-powerful being? Now, I need to explain something about the God. In the old King James, you'll see the Hebrew transliteration, the teraphim, the family idol. Here's the deal with the family idols. Back in the day, those family idols, yes, they would have been gods, they would have been prayed to, they would have been sacrificed to, all of that. But these family idols have a secondary purpose. Because you see, often property rights were denoted with markers, and the markers would refer to the family god, the family idol. So what has happened here is Rachel, yes, she stole the family idol. But in essence, what she was also doing was she was stealing the family property rights. Because those idols would have represented in a tangible way the intangible concept of property. That's why Laban was upset. It was like, his daughter had just it would be like owning a really nice estate and having your kid go into the safe deposit box and steal the deed to the estate. That's what Rachel did. And so I can understand why Laban was hot. I mean, I can dig it, I can grok it. And so Laban comes after him. Why did you steal my God? As I thought through this, I had another thought that came to me, and I need to hurry up and get this thing done because I noticed that I'm beginning to run a little short on time. But another thought came to me. Brothers and sisters who are Christ bearers, who are Christ followers, have you ever wondered? I mean, of course the Bible tells us that people are going to be offended because of Christ. And the Bible tells us that, but have you ever really wondered why? Why would an atheist be offended by something that he believes doesn't exist? And I'll tell you why. And it hit me as I was reading this today. This line. Now you have indeed gone away because you long greatly for your father's house. But, and here's the important part, why did you steal my God? You see, here's the thing. When presented with the real God, when presented with Jesus of Nazareth, the only begotten Son of God, beloved of the Father, who was crucified, died, and rose again, who holds the keys to life and life everlasting. When presented with that truth, do you know what happened? They've had their God stolen. They had their God stolen. Whatever God it was that they were serving, whether it's the God of humanism, whether it's a God of atheism, whatever ism it is, the moment that Jesus walks into the room, that God withers. And that thing that they put their faith into curdles. And so their gods have been stolen. But now let's get back to our text so we can get through this. Jacob replied to him, because I was afraid, for I thought that you would take your daughters from me by force. That tells us a little bit about what this guy Laban was like. The one to whom you find your God shall not live in the presence of our kinsmen. Point out what is yours among my belongings and take it for yourself. Jacob didn't know that Rachel had stolen it. So Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, into the tent of the two maids, He didn't find them. And then he went out, and then he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household god and put them in the camel's saddle, and she sat upon them. And Laban felt through all the stuff, but did not find them. And she said to her father, "Let my lord not be angry that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is upon me." So he searched the whole, but did not find the household idol. Now this is cold. This part is cold because one of two things happened. Either Rachel was lying about it being that time of the month. Possible. But even colder is she wasn't lying about that time of the month. And by sitting on the household gods in the saddle like that, she just desecrated the household gods. Either way it goes, it's cold. Because if she was at that time of month, that would have been a desecration of basically nullifying their usefulness as idols. But let's not forget, these idols did also represent property. And so that's why Laban was really hot. Be really honest, most people when presented with the real true God, unless they are being willingly ignorant, you know, they're actually fairly cool with the idea, yeah, I was worshiping something that was false. They may not like it at the beginning, but eventually they have to come around. So, Jacob became angry and contended with Laban, and Jacob said to Laban, "Well, what's my transgression? What is my sin that you have hotly pursued me? Though you have felt through all my goods, what have you found of all your household goods? Set it here before my kinsmen and before your kinsmen, that they may decide between us two." And then Jacob reminds Laban about the service that he's given. "These 20 years I've been with you, your ewes and female goats, they've not miscarried, and I've not eaten the rams of your flocks. That which was torn by beasts I did not bring to you, but I bore the loss of it myself. You required it of my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. And thus I was, by the day he consumed me, and frost by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I have been in your house and served you 14 years for your daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac hadn't been with me, surely by now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the toil of my hands, and has so rendered judgment last night." Wow. The end of the chapter deals with the covenant. Jacob and Laban replied to Jacob, "The daughters are mine, and the children are mine, and the flocks are my flocks, and all that you have is mine. But what can I do these days to these my daughters or to their children whom they born? So come now, let's make a covenant between you and me, and let it be a witness between you and me." So they go through this covenant ritual of setting up a stone. They got witnesses. They put stones in a heap to act as a marker. Basically what they've done is they've made a new property marker. And they're going to say, "Okay, here's the deal, Laban. You don't cross this line to do evil against me. I'm not going to cross this line to do evil against you." And so it becomes a boundary marker, thus invalidating the household god that Rachel had stolen. And so they go on their way, and then we get down to the end of chapter 31. Early in the morning, Jacob, Laban arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned to his place. So that's Jacob on the run. Next week, we're going to look at Jacob's reunion with his brother. And again, I just want to remind you that everyone is invited. Well, if you're in the Long Beach area, we are inviting you out to what we call Church Without Walls. We're going to be having church in the park. Food, games, fun, family times. We hope that you will all join us on August 28th at 9:30. It's a free event. Just come and enjoy. Also, don't forget, if you would like to receive the study notes and audio from our upcoming Wednesday series, which is how to study the Bible, be sure to private message me with your information, and we will get that information out to you as we teach each lesson. And I'll prepare to receive the blessing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who sees all of our trials and arranges that all that we do might be repaid. May he bless you and keep you in all of the days and all of your life. Until we come together again, amen and amen.